Okay, so I want to wrap up this business of standing for Eishes Chaver and just finish off a little bit of interesting halacha l'maisa when it comes to standing in general. That if you got a chance to see the Yerushalmi Poskim, right, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, so it's an interesting thing that comes from our Gemara, not benogeya dafka to Eishes Chaver, but benogeya to the mitzvah of standing up in general. And so that we have the discussion of whether or not this is kavod to the chaver, or whether or not it's kavod to the isha. So we said last time, based on the Ramban and the Ritva and those Rishonim, it seems very clear that they are learning that it's dafka kavod to the chaver himself. And we said it may be a couple of possible nafkaminas in terms of mechila, in terms of after the Misa of the Chaver, etc. So these things we tried to speak out a little bit beforehand. Just wanted to start with a discussion in the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch has a couple of interesting points over here, and one of which seems to be a little bit of a contradiction in Svara, at least. It's a contradiction when you think about it. It's not what you would have thought per se, when you would analyze the situation. So the Minchas Chinuch is in Mitzvah Reishin and Zayin, which is the mitzvah of giving kavod to Chachamim. And in Os Dalin, in the Minchas Chinuch, he writes, "Umashikazav Arav Machaber." Whenever the Minchas Chinuch says Arav Machaber, it means the Sefer HaChinuch. "V'noheges bizcharim unikevos v'zeh poshut." Says this din of standing up applies to both males and females. That is obvious. That's how the Sefer HaChinuch formulated. Uleinyin lamod lifnei isha zakeinu. That was talking about men and women have to stand up for Talmidei Chachamim and for old people. What if the old person is a woman? So ledidan depaskinon kiisi ben yud dafil zaken ashmai. This is a discussion in the Gemara. If you got a chance to see the Gemara in Kiddushin, this is they talk about you have mipnei seva takum afilu zaken ashmai. Rashi explains zaken ashmai means an am haaretz, a person who's not particularly learned. He's a shomer Torah. He's not a Rasha. There's a discussion. Rashi tells us over there. What about a Rasha? Okay, let's assume the person is a shomer Torah mitzvah. So he's not so learned, but. So we paskin says this says in Minchas Chinuch like Isi ben Yehuda, you stand up and feel b'fnei zaken ashmai zimkein bevadai chayv lamo b'fnei isha zakeina. Why would a woman be any different? Meaning, you want to say a woman doesn't learn Torah, so she doesn't know her stuff? Okay, but she's old, like a man is old, and therefore you would have to stand up in front of an isha zakeina as well. However, according to the Rambam, that he learns it depends. You have to. The way you make the that's a Gemara that requires a lot of cheshbon. If you put certain things together, so then it'll play out a certain way. If you put together Yannick v'chachim, which means a very young Talmud chacham, with zaken ashmai, so there's certain cheshbonos that get made. But basically, the way the Rambam seems to make the cheshbon is that you only stand if the person is both old and a Talmud chacham. So then bevada ein sarach lam abimneisha. You don't have to stand in front of an old woman. Af shehi chachama shalom de Torah. Let's say she's extremely learned and she learned a lot of Torah. She knows she's a great talmidah chacham, right? So somebody I once heard somebody use that term talmidah chacham, right? So that's talmidah chacham is actually the correct way to say it. Somebody corrected me once, talmidah chachamah. So I said no. If we're talking about her being wise, so she's a chachama. But if she's the term Talmidei Chachamim or Talmid Chacham means the student of a wise man, right? So generally speaking, until you get to a second generation where you have a lot of women, nowadays I guess you have some elderly women who are very learned and maybe they have students who are very learned as well. So you could already be a Talmidei Chachamah at this point. But probably if you wait till the next generation, then you'll have Talmidot Chachamot. Nowadays I think mostly you have Talmidot Chachamim. So you have most of the people teaching the women, at least on a high level. Not all, obviously there's exceptions, but are still males. So a woman would be known as a Talmidah Chacham. So that's, whatever. It's neither here nor there, just interesting. It's like right up there with people who are always wishing that a woman should be a Melitza Yeshara. I'm like, it's not, it's a Melitza Yosher, right? It's the same, right? If a person is a melitz yosher, he's not a melitz yosher, right? When a person is melitz, he should say nice things. What should he say? He should say yosher. He should ask the Rabbanu Shalom, do positive, straightforward, good things. So too, a woman, when she goes up to Shemayim, she should be a melitza yosher. She should also ask for the same things, just she happens to be a woman. So she's a melitza, but she's a melitza of yosher, right? So that's also, right, for plural to say that people should be melitze yosher, right? They should not be melitze yesharim, right? That was last week's parsha, right? That Bilam wanted to be most yesharim. But that's not the same thing. I was referring to the avos according to Rashi. Okay, so that's what we're saying over here. If you have an isha chachama, so if you have a woman who's extremely learned, or at least learned enough that she would be constituted talmud chacham, it wouldn't matter, says the Minchas Chinuch, even if she was, according to the Rambam Shita, that we don't stand for a yonik v'chacham, we only stand for a zakein v'chacham. So therefore, we would not stand for an elderly woman. Let's say she's learned. So he says, no, mikol makom, ein chachma li'isha el bepelech. He quotes the Gemara that we don't say ein chachma li'isha, v'chol adinim shetzarech chacham bevadi l'shayach b'isha av shehi chachama. It's not relevant to a woman. All the dinim that you need a Talmud chacham are not relevant to a woman, even if she is just as learned as a man. De'eino nikra chacham rak im mitzuva l'ilmod v'liknos chachma. So he says, you're not called a Talmud Chacham for these purposes unless you are commanded to learn Torah. Right, we know that the Rabbi Gamliel used to brag about his Eved being a Talmud Chacham, right? And even in the Mishnah, says that he was Dafka Yoshev Tachas Amita because he knew he was Pater Min HaSukkah, right? So therefore you see that he was very learned, ain lo din Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't have the halachas of a Talmud Chacham because an eved is not chayev in Talmud Torah. The efshar shadin ba'al maisim yesh lahu im he medak to give a maaseim. So I'm going to come back to this later, but he says maybe they have a din of a ba'al maisa. What's a ba'al maisa? Ba'al maisa is brought up later in the Rishonim in Kiddushin, especially the Ran has a long piece over there in Yanim Ibnei Seva Tokum. So the Ran, we're going to try to come back to at the end, discusses the idea of a Baal Maisa versus a Talmud Chacham. Meaning, you have certain people, right? Why do we assume that a Talmud Chacham is also righteous? Why do we assume this to be the case? We know from time to time you find a Talmud Chacham was not righteous, right? He's not such a Talmud Chacham. He's not such a tzaddik, right? So it's true. It's true that, but we have a concept, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem, Hein Yiras Hashem, Hi Chachma, that there's a chazakah, you call it a Ruba Delisa Kaman, or Ruba Disa Kaman, whatever you want to call it, there's a chazakah that a person who is kone a lot of Chachmas Hashem will generally be also a Baal Maisa, he'll also be a tzaddik. He'll have Yiras Shamayim. As it said, Reishis Chachma, Yiras Hashem, right? Chachma and Yiras Hashem are very, very closely related in the Torah Hashkafa. Right, but nevertheless, from time to time, you have a Talmud Chacham who's not such a big tzaddik, and you have sometimes very big tzaddikim who are not such big Talmud Chachamim. Right, in certain circles of Judaism, when they want to refer to great individuals, they won't refer to them as Chazal, they won't refer to them as Talmud Chachamim, they'll refer to them as tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, the tzaddikim say, or why did the tzaddikim say? Because they put a greater stress on being a Baal Maisa versus being a Talmud Chacham. So we have such an idea in Halacha as a Baal Maisa. So you have to stand up in front of a Baal Maisa. So that's a discussion. So the Minchas Chinuch says, if you could say that if the woman is very learned and or she's just an extremely righteous person, so you maybe would have to stand up for her, not midin her learning, but midin the fact that she constitutes a Baal Maisa, or even Tavi, the Eved of Rav Gamliel. He's a Medakdeik B'mitzvos. So maybe you'd have to stand up for such a person who's a Medakdeik B'mitzvos. So that's he leaves that as a little bit of a Tzarechiyun. But then he goes on and he talks about our Gemara. In Os Zion over here, talks about our Gemara. Mavor b'shas shivus perek shivus seidus gabi divis the ravuna deishes chaver arei kichaver tzorach lamo mponeh vayin sham betosvos deishes chaver laachar misa ein kana say the kavod a torah odif Uberan maybe mefurish the lachar misa sachaver chayav mechvod erak midrabbanan. The Ran is along the schools of thought of the Ramban and the Ritva, etc. So both Tosfos and the Ran write that after the death of Rav Huna, there is no din called kavod haTorah adif as it would be for Rav Huna himself. Right, and he says, and it seems very clear. Seems very clear from that all the kavod comes specifically from the Talmud Chacham. The chaver is the source of the kavod for the Eishes chaver. Yeah, he points out over here that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't quote this lahalacha. Right, says he doesn't know why. Where is that? So Ram Tur Shulchan Aruch. Lo eviu din zev lo yadati lama v'taz maybe divrei Tosfos Shua sanal b'zeh halashon the shema in shayech asay the cover the Torah be'ishes chaver achar misa avol b'tshuvas maramints. Yeah, I can't find this tshuvas maramints. I looked, the Taz doesn't give you a maramakum for the tshuvas maramints. I did a search on the Bar Ilan, I can't find where this tshuvas maramints is. I didn't get a chance to see what he actually says, but this is the way the Taz quotes it. The Taz quotes the Maharam Mintz because of the Dafka im Niseis La'am Ha'aretz. When do we say that there's no longer a din kavod haTorah by an Eishes Chaver if she is no longer married to the Talmud Chacham and then she marries a non-Talmud Chacham? That's when we say that she no longer has a din of Eishes Chaver, that you don't have to stand up for her anymore. So that's a very interesting chiddush. Avalim he lo niseis chayam lechabda kibar rishon. It's only if she is married to somebody else. If she's still single, if she's an almana or maybe a grusha, it's not so poshut. But let's assume she's an almana, that she receives the same kavod that she would have had she still been married to the Talmud Chacham. So let's try to figure that out. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to find it. Ube'emes betosfos mavor od siba delo shayech la'achar misa sasei dekavod haTorah adif v'mkein utiritz l'kushiyasam shalom v'kol makom efsher asei yesh. Right, so this is again same svar as Minchas Chinuch before. Maybe there's no isser to be mezalzel the kavod haTorah, but maybe there's still a mitzvah to be mechabed her. Right, there's still a mitzvah to be mechabed her mitzad the kavod haTorah even after the misa of her husband. Ach delo shayech hayasei adif. Ach beran sheivesi mavor lehedya del acharmisa ein asei avol midrabbanan chayav mechvoda imkain ein raya meamaramins dechilek laachar shenisis lamaaretz bevadein chayav mechvoda avol kolzman sheloni says mechuyam al kopon mechvoda midrabbanan v'ze poshut. So he says, listen, if you look in the maramins and maybe pshat in Tosfos, so you can say that even after the husband dies, there's still a chi of kavod for her. Mi'ikar adin. Says, look, I can't make something out of nothing. So he has to admit that the Ramban and that Chevra, the Ran and the Ritva, they would all agree that after the Misa of the Chaver, there is no din d'oraisa whatsoever to give her kavod. And the Ramban was suggesting maybe the whole time there wasn't a din d'oraisa to give her kavod, but definitely after the Misa's Chaver, there's only a din midrabbanan to give kavod to the almana of a Chaver. Okay. So this is the shita of the Minchas Chinuch, saying that the Ramban and his school of thought say that after the Mises Chaver, they definitely there's only a din derabanan. And we tried to explain last time why there might be a din derabanan. We talked about the concept of a little bit of kavod abrius. We'll get more into kavod abrius as we go, but of the concept of de machsaro, that person you can't just ask them to fall. You know, so far, when they're used to having a lot of kavod and they're used to receiving, you know, being treated a certain way, and then afterwards to just be treated normally is very, very difficult for a person. So perhaps that was the source of the din derabanan, that you're still supposed to be mechabed her lachar misa. It could be a din what we call shivrei luchos, right? So you see that in the Rishima Shiurim. I don't know if I put that on the Maramakomos. Now, if you look in the Rishima Shiurim, Rav Soloveitchik quotes from his father. So he wanted to suggest that similar idea to being mechabed at Talmud Chacham mitam shivrei luchos, Right? We said that if you have a Talmud Chacham, the Gemara in Brachos says, "Hisharo b'Chacham sheshachach Talmudo machmas onso." Right? If you have a Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning because of, not because he just decided he's not learning anymore, but because it was difficult, wasn't able to maintain it, so, or he had some kind of mental problem, whatever it was. So if you have a Talmud Chacham who forgets their learning, so they have the din of the Shivri Luchos, that like just like the broken Luchos, that the Torah was once inscribed on them, they still stayed in the Aron Kodesh, or next to the Aron Kodesh, so too, the Talmud Chacham who forgets his learning might have a similar din. So perhaps an Eishes Chaver after the Misas Chaver might have a similar din as well, that she used to be Begeder, Eishes Chaver, and now the Chaver is dead, but she's still a little bit, she should still have some residual effect in that regard. So that's those are all ideas that we suggested for the din d'rabbanan. But how could it be possible that it could actually be me'ikar adin? There's a real chi of mitzad the isha herself to mechabit her, and yet after the misa's bylaw, you're not so mechuyev to be mechabit her anymore. Either you're not mechuyev anymore at all, or you're not mechuyev mitzad the Ikar Adin, only Adin Midirabbanan. Is it possible that you can't really be Medaik one way or the other from that, you know, from the fact that after, that the fact that Rav Huna died means that there's no longer a Chiyav Min HaTorah to be Mechabiter anymore? Is it possible to still be Medaik that's not Dafka the Kavod of Rav Huna, but Afal Pichin is not an Ikar Chiyav? Second of all, just wanted to go back to the stira in the thought process of the Minchas Chinuch. On one hand, it's not a stira, but it's just an interesting thought process. On one hand, he says a woman is kona her own Torah, so that who cares, right? That's neither here nor there. Maybe if she's a big tzaddikas, that's one thing. But a woman who's married to Talmud Chacham, or even if she used to be married to Talmud Chacham, she does not marry Talmud Chacham right now, that is a real chiyuv min haTorah to be mechabit her. So why is that? Meaning, why are we mechabed a Talmud Chacham in the first place? Why are we mechabed a Talmud Chacham? His Torah. So is there such a difference in his Torah and her Torah? Right, we know, because we said that we stress this idea that a Talmud Chacham can be mochal on his kavod. Why can he be mochal on his kavod? Torah delay. It's his Torah. So the whole thing is that he was kona Torah. We're mechabed his Torah. And he can say, you don't have to be mechabed my Torah. So how could it be that if you have a woman who learns Torah, so okay, so she's not Mitzuva Vyosa, but she's still, it's her Torah, it's real Torah. So why is it that that all of a sudden, it's not, I mean, L'mashal, it's not a great mashal, but let's say you have a Sefer Torah that was written by a guy who, it's not a Rasha, but he's not the type of person you'd be Mechabed. But he followed the halachos of writing a Sefer Torah. Right, he's not. We know there's a halacha called Sefer Torah shekasvo min. If not Bikaris writes a Sefer Torah, what do you do to Sefer Torah? You burn it, right? So that's not what we're talking about. The guy's he's a shomer Torah mitzvos, but he's not. He's the guy stands in the back of the shul talking the whole time, and that's not machal Shabbos. He's not. He keeps taras on the shpacha. He just whatever. He's not the kind of guy you would want to emulate. He has a nice handwriting, and he went into Safras. You know, so he has kavanas, he has kavana for Shem Shemayim when he writes the Kedushas Hashem, when he writes Hashem's name. He doesn't, he follows the halachos, but he's not one of these guys, you know, like everybody who ever wore a pair of tefillin or read from a Sefer Torah, they say, oh, this is written by the best sofer in Yerushalayim. You know, there's like, it's like being the best sofer in Yerushalayim is like being the top guy in Lakewood. Like, there are many, many of them. This guy only writes two pairs of tefillin a year, and you got one of them, right? So there'd be about eight pairs of tefillin in the whole world if that was actually true. But Lamaisa, so what do we mean? The guy, he's such a tzaddik, he goes to the mikveh every time he writes a letter. It's unbelievable, right? Okay, so this guy did not write that Sefer Torah. He didn't write this. This Sefer Torah was written by a very uninteresting, very not so righteous man. Does it have Kedusha? You're not going to burn it. You're not even going to put it in the Geniza. You're going to read it. It has a Kedusha Sefer Torah. You're mechuyev to stand up when it walks by, or when it passes by. Avada, you're mechuyev to stand up when it passes by. The guy who wrote it wasn't so chashuv. So what? It's the Torah. saying once the Torah is Torah. So obviously it's not the best mashal to the Nimshal because, you know, the person who wrote it was still begetting Mitzvah V'yosa, etc. But Lamais, at the end of the day, if a woman learns Torah, are we being mechabed her, or are we mechabed the Torah? So she knows a lot of Torah, so we should be mechabed her. We should stand up for her. And in fact, who says such an idea? So you have the one of the great Sephardi Middle Eastern Gedolim, I don't know how you pronounce the name exactly, but I used to call it the Mahari Ice, but I don't think that's how you really pronounce the name. But what? Right, I think it might be Aishesh, I'm not sure, but Rabbi Yehuda, it's in the Shas and Tshuva's Beis Yehuda. It's a tiny little comment. I don't think I put it on the Maamar Makomos, because if you quote what he says, that's the whole comment anyway. So it's a tiny little tshuva, like four lines. So I think Rabbi Yashiv quotes it here, or he quotes it in Kiddushin, I forgot. He quotes it in Kiddushin, so I read, I typed this from the, I took... Right before I left, I ran downstairs to my office and I took a snapshot on my phone of the Horus Mosef Kedushin. I didn't want to bring more for him, so I took a snapshot. So I typed it off the snapshot. It might not be 100% accurate, but let's read it together. He says, "Because of Amin Chaschinoch, Isha Chachama v'lo Zekena, Ein Chayav Mechvoda, U'mashem Atzina Dionik Afilu Pox Miyad Gimel Afa Bishena Mechuyev Lilmod Mikol Malkom Chayav Lilmod Imo V'Shayech Bezeh." Right. This is a longer discussion about someone, a katan, who will be eventually Baal Echlal Mitzvos. Right. There's a comment by the Rush, I think, where he writes that if you could have a katan make kiddush for you, a bench for you, if he's Baal Lidei Chinuch, because he's still Bechlal Mitzvah, versus an Isha who's not going to be Bechlal. Kiddush is not a good example of that, but benching, according to the Maan Dharma, the women are part of from benching. So there is such a comment. So he's saying over here also, when it comes to a katan, he's not chayiv in Talmud Torah, he's not chayiv in anything, but he will eventually be chayiv in Talmud Torah. So he's at least in the parsha. He's in the parsha of Talmud Torah right now. Says Mashen came be Isha hare hamalam de Torah malam de tiflus. Says there's no chiyuv to teach women Torah, and in fact the Mishnah in Sota says it's not a good thing to teach them Torah. Mishum hachi. Lake Achiev, Avalachora Milsa de Tmiyahi. He says, "Yeah, I don't get it." Shahare Matsinu Nashim Chachamos Ki Ima Shela Prisha. Right? I told you about that one. It's not really his mother; it's really his wife. Right? Ima Shela Prisha is really the Eishes HaPrisha. The Prisha wrote. He did not write the introduction to the Sefer, so his son wrote the introduction. So he keeps talking about his mother, but it was really the Prisha's wife. So, okay, Lamaisa, she has two Chidushi Halacha over there. They're both Menogeh to Hadlakas Neros, right? Her son writes, he says, she was a very, very learned woman, and she said Chidushi Torah and Piskei Halacha. So I'll write two of them here. One of them, I might be off on one of them. One of them was talking about the fact that she should light, I think the first one was when she should light Yontif candles very early. Try to light Yontif candles before Yontif starts, but the other one was Benogea to making the bracha before you light Yontif candles. She writes that you're supposed to make a bracha. So during the we paskin like the Ramah that and I never really understood this Ramah, but okay, that's what he says. That's what we do. But the Ramah paskins that if you say the bracha on Hadlakas Neros, so then you will be Makabel Shabbos. And therefore, the woman has to first light the candles and then say the bracha. Right? I'm sure you've seen women light Shabbos candles before. So they always light the Shabbos candles first, and then they make the bracha. They dafka cover their eyes, or they cover the candles, so they don't get any hana from them. And then they make the bracha after the fact, so they don't have the problem that if they make the bracha, that's ki'ilu a kabbalah Shabbos, and then it's also to light the candles. So that's the psak of the Ramah. The Mechaber, Sephardi women, I assume, light, they make the bracha and then they light. That's the more, you know, Alani is daiti, much more mistaver. But that's the Minhag Ashkenaz is definitely to first light the candles, then make the bracha. But the wife of the Prisha says, that's only on Shabbos when you're not allowed to light candles. On Yontif, Avada, you make the bracha first and then you light the Shabbos candles. It's not a low plug Rabbanan that they made a din that you're not supposed to, you're always supposed to make the bracha second, right? And then Magen Avram, he quotes it in passing Magen Avraham paskins that even on Yantif you should make the bracha you should make the bracha second. And he quotes the, he says, I don't remember the exact lashon of Magen Avraham, right? Ayin akdamas aprisha ve'ein chachmal isha elu bapelch. Right, so he writes that, whatever they quote in akdamas to the prisha, ein chachmal isha elu bapelch. We don't assume that, he was just trying to be dismissive, but in a cute way. So he says, we don't follow that psak, but I think if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, we do follow that psak. So the Mishnah Berurah says, accepts the psak of the wife of the prisha, for Echus Yantif. I think that's the other chiddush is to light early. And that's not such a chiddush, but he's saying basically that also obviously fits in if you go with the shita of the Vilna Gaon that anything you do before Shabbos or Yantif is kavod, anything you do on Shabbos is oneg. So that's why if you look in the Rambam, there's a dual function to Shabbos candles. They're both kavod and oneg, right? It's kavod because you light them before, and then oneg because you're enjoying the light on Shabbos. So on Yantif, a lot of times the women will wait because they know they can light the candles on Yantif anyway, so they'll wait till it gets very late and then they'll light the candles right after or right before the people come home from shul. Or they'll light the candles even after the people come home from shul. So on the second night of Yantif, okay, you have no choice. What can you do? But the first night of Yantif, so if you light them early, then you're Mekayim both Kavod Yantif and Oneg Yantif. If you light the candles before Yantif actually starts, so you have Kavod and Oneg. If you light them on Yantif only, so then you only have Oneg Yantif. So it's not as bekavadik, it's not as respectful to the Yantif to wait until Yantif actually starts to light them. So at least on the first night of Yantif, it's worthwhile to light the candles early if you can. Okay, so that's what he's talking about over here when he talks about the mother of the Prisha. That's what Rabbi Yashiv's mentioning over here. Similarly, it says v'chein bruria b'tosefta shoyse choleches im hachachamim, right? Bruria, the daughter of Rabbi Meir. Since we're coming to the 3 weeks now, so I'll mention also who was the father of Bruria. Right, the father of Bruria was Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon, so one of the Asur Rugi Malchus. You guys have heard of Rabbi Meir Balanes, right? So the Nes that he's known for was related to Bruria's sister. Bruria's sister was another daughter of Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash was in a terrible situation that he had to try to save her. So the nace that Rabbi Meir performed was regarding saving his sister-in-law, another daughter of Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon. Okay, so he says... Since we know that Bruria was also a great scholar, and over the years, here and there, you find certain women who were great Torah scholars. So, why do we care that she's not mechuyeves? Ha isla Torah b'kavod haTorah dida. This is exactly what we asked, right? She has Torah, and it's her Torah. So why shouldn't we be mechabed? Or be'emes kasav amari ayish or ashish deleika. Nafkamina, the ikachi of kavod isha ba'alas Torah. So this is his shita. Od kaz min chaschina deish chaver kechaver chayim bechvoda v'yotze dechvoda yoser chamor mechvodo da'arei hu yachol limchol v'yein eichol limchol da'arei hu kevodo. Right? So he says that the husband, Ravun himself, could be mochel on his kavod, but the visitor, Ravun, can't be mochel on her kavod. And here, kshu mochel al kevodo lo mahani levad Dikvar zachsa bezchus shehoisala kavod b'tzarach mechila dida. Right, this we spoke about last time. So we said, so Rabbi Yashiv says, let's say the husband doesn't want anybody to be mechabed his wife. Right, he says, I don't want anybody to be mechabed my wife. Why? Because I'm not interested. I'm not interested in kavod. I'm not interested in kavod for me. I'm not interested in kavod for my wife. So it could be that doesn't work because she was already zocha in the kavod at the time that they got married, or later, before he was mochel, and therefore he doesn't have the right to take it back. Okay. So, this is one way of looking at it. They just don't like them in Chaschinach, where he says that it doesn't make any sense to say that a woman who learns Torah doesn't get kavod, but a woman who's married to Talmud Chacham does get kavod. How could you say such a thing? If she learns Torah, she has Torah, that's it. So, Lechara, what is the basis for the Minchas Chinuch's Chiluk? I mean, he gives you the source in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and Sota, where he says that really we're not interested in women learning Torah, but more specifically, what's the basis for what he's saying? So I gave you a few different Gemaras in Maariv Makomos. One of the Gemaras was the Mishnah and the Gemara Sota Daf Chaf and Daf Chaf Aleph. So the Gemara there has the Mishnah has a statement that sometimes a woman can be guilty as a Sota, and you can still delay the punishment up to 3 years, right? What was the thing that delays the punishment? She has a zechus, right? The Mishnah says she has a zechus. Right? So yesh zechus tolala, right? So they could have a zechus that delays the punishment of 3 years. In fact, that's why the whole business comes up with whether or not women should be learning Torah, because of that issue of yesh zechus tolala. So Ben Azai in the Mishnah says, based on that, so you see from here that a man should teach his daughter Torah. Why? Because if she has a zechus, it'll be tolala. So the question is, what does that mean exactly? You got to check out Rashi over there on the Mishnah. But then that's when they fired back against Ben Azai. They said, no, kol ha-malamed bita Torah, kilu malamed tiflis. Right? And then Rabbi Meir has a wild statement that's hard to understand. Okay, a lot of hard to understand things in that Mishnah that need a lot of explanation. But Lamaisa, for our purposes, the Gemara asks, what's this big zechus that could be tola her punishment for 3 years? So the first topic is, okay, I know what it is. What is it? Zechus HaTorah, right? So we say zechus HaTorah. So that's for sure what's going to save her for 3 years. So the Gemara says, no, can't be the zechus HaTorah. Why not? Because she's not commanded to learn Torah. And we know there's a klal gadol, it's greater to be commanded to do the mitzvah than not commanded to do the mitzvah. And therefore, it can't be that the zechus of Torah is what's protecting her. Right? Right? So that's the lashon of the Gemara. I'll read it to you inside. Zechus de ma ilayim, zechus de Torah, ha'ina mitzvah v'yosu, ela zechus de mitzvah. Must be the zechus of a mitzvah. Right? Whatever mitzvah it is, achnas is orchim, biker cholim, achnas is kala, levoy is ameis. I'm just listing off from the Mishnah Pei, right? So that it could be whatever mitzvah, the great chassadim that she could do, hilchos Shabbos, hilchos kashrus, all these great mitzvahs. Women, if there would be no such thing as men in Judaism, then people would realize that women in Judaism have plenty to do, right? There's no shortage. You could spend your entire day and your entire life just doing the mitzvos that women are chayev to do, no doubt. There's many, many mitzvahs to do. So you say, okay, so there's a chus of the mitzvah. So the frek the Gemara, mi magina kule hai, is that really so protective? And then they go through, ner mitzvah v'torah or, a mitzvah is like a candle compared to the Torah, which is like a source of light, you know, a blinding light, right? So a mitzvah gives you a little bit of protection, but not enough. For a woman who's chayef for Gili Arias, who's a sota, that she's going to delay her punishment, it's impossible. So Lamaisa, you see something very interesting, first of all, about the whole concept of Eina Mitzvah V'yosa. We know, we always knew there's an idea of Gadol Mitzvah V'yosa and Misha Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, right? But you would think that, okay, so let's say out of a scale of 1 to 100, so on the credit scale, you get the most credit for a mitzvah. So Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, you get a 100 out of 100 for learning Torah. Okay. And then Eina Mitzvah V'yosa of Talmud Torah would be much less. Let's say it's a 50 out of 100. That's only half as good. Say 49 out of 100, not even half as good. Right? Fine. But that's not what we say. Because you would say, before we even get to that, that's not what we're sorry. You have the zechus of a regular mitzvah. You have the zechus of achnasas orchim. So you'd say, what would achnasas orchim? Well, if Torah is 100, achnasas orchim is a 50. Right? Really? Is it automatically a 50? Maybe it's a 20. Maybe it's a 10. Maybe separating hafrashas chala is a 35. So in other words, if you say that something's a 35, it's a good mitzvah. It's pretty solid. But still, it's below Eina Mitzvah V'yosa of Talmud Torah, which is a 49. That's what I would have thought. But we see from this Gemara, not so. That Eina Mitzvah V'yosa of Talmud Torah is below every mitzvah. You understand the Cheshbon? Saying, what Zechus protects her must be Torah. Not Eina Mitzvah V'yosa. Okay, must be a mitzvah. What do you mean? Just say, Torah is still better than most mitzvos, Eina mitzvah v'yoseh. It's not. You see from the Cheshbon and the Gemara that it's not so. Eina mitzvah v'yoseh knocks Torah down to such a low level, it's like a 10 or a 5 at this point. So you could say, okay, Eina mitzvah v'yoseh of Torah is a 10, and Eina mitzvah v'yoseh of Hachnasas Orchim is a 5. Okay, but Hachnasas Orchim is still higher than Eina mitzvah v'yoseh of Torah. So that's an interesting observation you could see from this Gemara. Okay, so in the end, the Gemara has a lot of fascinating comments. This happens to be one of my all-time favorite Gemaras here, but Lamaisa, they have a lot of very fascinating comments in this Gemara. And then in the end, what do we say? We say, you're right, really it is the Zechus of Torah. It is the Zechus of Torah that protects her. What's the Zechus of Torah? What does she do that gives her this chus? She's not chayav to learn Torah. What?
She supports her family.
She facilitates Torah. She facilitates. She takes her kids to yeshiva. She holds down the fort while her husband is in the base medrash. That's a tremendous zechus. And in fact, Post can point out that it might even be a greater zechus than the husband's zechus. Why? It's very simple. I can tell you only from my wife's perspective. Probably applies to other people's wives as well. But probably applies to my wife's perspective. So my wife says, okay, go to the base medrash and learn some learning night seder, let's say. I'm supposed to get there at 8 o'clock and I'm supposed to stay till 11 o'clock. I don't know what. But I go to the base medrash. So what do you do? You get there, you mosey on in, maybe you're listening to something on the radio in the car, so you stick around till the commercial, whatever it is. So you end up showing up 8:15, and then while you're there, you got to get some coffee. You got to. So, okay. But your wife, she's holding down the fort. She's supporting for 3 hours of night seder. So in the end, you get 2 hours, 2.5 hours of night seder. So you only get what you actually learned. But she's getting the whole thing because she's facilitating all 3 hours. The fact that you chose to only avail yourself of 2.5 hours, that's your problem. So that's what they say. If you look in the Lashon and the Rambam and others, that if they look that Yisachar actually doesn't get as much Zechar as Zevulun, right? Zevulun, Yisachar does the learning and Zevulun supports them, but Zevulun gets more Zechar. Why? Zevulun gets more Zechar because of this Cheshbon, that Zevulun is running, he's facilitating a whole yeshiva of guys that are supposed to learn the Starim. So normally, the guys who are in the yeshiva, they learn the starim minus a tiny bit. You know, most yeshivas, the guys pretty much learn the starim, but they learn a little less than the starim usually. Or during the Seder, the guys wants to, you know, whatever, they have to take care of some pressing issues or whatever, so they end up missing some time. So, but the guy who's paying for it, he's paying for the whole Seder, he's paying for the whole yeshiva. So he wants the guys there. You know, he wants the guys there during the actual storm. So he'll get more schar than the guys who are actually learning the Torah. Now, he doesn't get any Torah, so he still loses out, right? That's the insert your favorite rabbi here. I've heard the story both about the Panovich Rav and Rav Aaron Cutler, but it's a great story anyway. So they were both great fundraisers. Panovich Rav really built, if you've ever been to B'nai Brak, so you would not believe where it was only a few short decades ago. It was literally nothing, like mamish nothing. And the Panovich Rav came and he saw. He says, "I see a lot of Torah going to be, it's going to be built in this place." And everybody thought he was a meshugana, and he built a lot of Torah. So he was a great, and he really basically gave up learning and teaching completely to become a fundraiser. He really just raised money for most of the rest of his life. He was a great posek in Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, and he was mostly just a fundraiser in Israel. And so one of the stories is he went to one of his balabatim, and he told him that he said that it's time for you to retire, and it's time for you. You've been supporting yeshiva for a long time. It's time for you to retire, and it's time for you to come learn in the yeshiva that you built. You know, you should get to participate also. So the Balabaya said to him, you know, I'm willing to do what you ask, but I just have one question for you then. You've been telling me all these years that I get just as much tzchar as all the people learning the yeshiva. So why would I want to then go learn the yeshiva? Why would I need to? I already have all the schar for all these. They have schar for themselves only. I have schar for all of them. He says, why do I need to come learn the yeshiva? So Panovich Rav said, you're right. He said, Mitzad Olam Abba, says, you have more than anybody. He says, I'm not worried about your Olam Abba. I'm worried about your Olam Hazeh. So how could you live in this world without learning Torah? He says, you're missing out on the whole world. You're missing out on all the good things in life. So he was saying that, it's important to keep that in mind, that if you have a person who's facilitating Torah, so that's a great, great thing. So everyone's like, oh, why would I ever want to learn Torah when I could just facilitate? First of all, it's not so partial that everybody's just going to become a great facilitator. And second of all, the more important answer is, then you don't get to learn. So that's the, you know, you're giving up a lot more than just Olam Haba if you give up the learning. So it's important to keep that in mind. L'maisa, the Gemara in Sota, and there's a similar Gemara in Brachos, right? I put that on Maamar Makomos also, that says that the zechus of women in Torah is that they facilitate Talmud Torah. They facilitate it, and they support those who are learning and give them the opportunity to actually accomplish something. And obviously, I put that Gemara, I put the Ksuvis version, right? There's the Gemara in the Darm and the parallel Gemara in Ksuvis by the Rachel, Ashes Rabbi Akiva, you know, that the ultimate Torah facilitator was the wife of Rabbi Akiva. She inspired him and sent him to go learn in yeshiva. And then when he came back, you know, she came and she ran to him, she kissed his feet, and the Talmidim were so taken aback by this, you know, even in those days the big rabbis had henchmen, you know, so they start to try to shove her out of the way, right? It wasn't just the guy who blocked the camera by the Chavetz Chaim. So they tried to shove her out of the way, and he says, no, just the opposite, right? Shaliv ishalachem shalah, right? She's the reason any of this is going on. You don't understand, like, the whole background, the unsung hero is her, and therefore you see that the zechus haTorah of and really the zechus of the hamsheichius of Kol HaTorah Kula, if you understand what Rabbi Akiva meant to the Mesorah of Torah Shebaal Peh, right? Especially in the period of Sfiras HaOmer when he went and he taught more Talmidim, really this was all something that he got from his wife. So I think you could. It's not a very big chiddush at all to suggest that when you say Eishes Chaver Kechaver, it's not stam that, well, there's a chiyuv in the covet of the Torah of her husband, and therefore there's a chiyuv to mechabed her. Mashenkein, if she would learn Torah, then there would be no chiyuv to be mechabed her. You understand what I'm saying? According to the way Rav Yashiv is learning, so there's a chiyuv to be mechabed the Torah. So you're mechabed the Torah, and then Mimelo, once there's a chiyuv to be mechabed the Torah, you mechabed the Eishes Chaver as well. But if there would be a woman who learns Torah, you also chayav to be mechabed her. But the Minchas Chinuch is not learning that way. He's saying there's a chiyuv to be mechabed a Talmud Chacham because he has a great zechus that he learned Torah. There's a chiyuv to be mechabed an Eishes Chaver, but why? Because of she's doing what she was supposed to do. Meaning, if you're to be mechabed in Isha Chachama, that's neither here nor there, because nobody told her to do this. And the Gemara specifically says in Sota that the zechus of her Torah is not that great, because nobody asked her to. Masha'enkein, what they did ask her to be a great facilitator, to be a person who helps perpetuate Torah, and bring Torah into the homes of Klal Yisrael, that is obviously worthy of Kavod Min HaTorah. That is her zechus. That's her zechus. And therefore, she is worthy of Kavod not only because of the Kavod that's due her husband, that she's an Eishes Chaver. No, the fact that her husband is a Chaver is attributable to her as well. And therefore, mitzad her doing what she's supposed to do, she is worthy of the kavod. And that's how you can explain the Maran Mintz, that even after the Misa of the Chaver, Kol Zman that she is still alive and she gets the zechus of being the facilitator of Torah. Ah, you'll say, but once she marries an Amah Aretz, no more, there's no longer that zechus. Yeah, because then she's clearly given it up. She's saying, I'm not interested in facilitating Torah anymore. I'm going to Now I'm going to be married to Amoritz, and that's the end of it. So she's showing that she's not worthy of the kavod anymore. So I think that's along the lines of what you could say in the Minchas Chinuch, that he's saying that a woman who learns Torah, that's very nice, but that's not something that's a great zechus for her. Nobody asked her to do that. Masha'en Kain, a woman who is an Eishes Chaver, facilitates Torah learning on behalf of those who are commanded, that is what she was asked to do. And she is considered worthy of a great deal of respect in that vein. And by the way, I mentioned at the beginning of Shir that there was this very long Ran in Kiddushin. The Ran in Kiddushin seems to stress that the only reason to stand up is because a person is a Baal Maisa. You only stand up for Tzaddikim. Elamai, we don't know who the Tzaddikim are, so we stand up for Talmid Chachamim. But who would deny me if you knew that somebody was a great Tzaddik and he wasn't such a big Talmid Chacham? So he would stand up for them too. So you could say along those lines, although that's not the sheet of the Ran himself, but you can say along the lines of that, Ran, that a woman who facilitates Torah has a din of a balas maisa. She is a tremendous tzadekes insofar as that she is a facilitator of the learning of a great Talmud Chacham and or her children, right, who you know, etc. So they have, she has, you know, that zechus as not as a scholar, but as a balas maisa. And she has the zechus because of the actions that she did. Anyway, it's a thing, it's some food for thought. Okay, just to close, this idea that we saw, hopefully you had a chance to see, the machlokes between the Haratzvi and the Mincha Shlomo. The Haratzvi quotes he was asked to Shaila from this Rabbi Yechezkel ben Rav Rachamim, about how long do you have to stand up for Talmud Chacham? Let's say a guy comes to visit the yeshiva, a big Talmud Chacham, he comes to visit, and now he's standing there talking to somebody, and you're within Dalet Amos, and you don't know what to do with yourself already. You want to sit down, but you can't. So he wanted to bring a raya from this Gemara first. So the Shoah wanted to bring a raya from this Gemara. You see, Kol's man that the Talmud Chacham is standing, you have to stand for him. You don't have a choice. Right? But so Ratzvi Pesach Frank said he didn't think that was such a good raya, but from the lashon of the Ran, the way the Ran sees that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that's a great raya. What does the Ran say? The Ran says, I have a raya from this Gemara that we follow Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, not the Chachamim. Why? Because when did the Eishes Ravuna have to stand? Dafka b'shas Gemardin. She had to stand b'shas Gemardin. So Mela, when she stood up, Shas Gmardin, that's when Rav Nachman had to stand up again. So he's saying, why does he have to stand up again? He already stood up for her before. So he says, no, you see from here that there's a chiyuv to stand, kol zman that particular person is standing, and the Visud Rav Huna was sitting most of the case, but then when she stood back up, he had to stand back up. So that's he thought it was a good raya from that sheet of the Ran. Rav Shlomo Zalman is not such a big believer that it's a good raya, and he basically writes that there's a concept in general that you have a makom kavua, right? This is actually very interesting because in the past weeks, Dirshu Mishnah Brura, so they were talking about standing for Sefer Torah, and one of the things they brought up was, what about on Simchas Torah? In the Dirshu footnotes, they bring up, what about on Simchas Torah? So we know that there's a minhag, where people are makel, that when the hakafas are going on in the shul, so people are lenient and they don't stand the whole time the hakafas, even though the Sifrei Torah are always in motion. So Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Halicho Shlomo over there, and they quoted him in the Dirshu footnotes that maybe one reason that people are makel is that since on Simchas Torah, the Torahs are supposed to be paraded around the shul, so maybe those areas of the shul that the Torahs are paraded around have a din of the proper makom for the Sifrei Torah. Right? Maybe that's cool that the Sefer Torah is bimkom. The whole reason you stand for, meaning you don't stand for a Sefer Torah when the Aron Kodesh is open, right? What do you mean you don't stand? Of course you stand. Yeah, we stand, don't get me wrong. But that's not really a chiyuv. That's just something we decided to do. Right, so but there's no chiyuv to stand when the Sefer Torah is munach b'mkomo. Otherwise, there would be no difference between the Sefer Torah sitting in the Aron Kodesh and the Sefer Torah sitting on the bima. You'd have to stand the whole time there also. So Shlomo Zalman says, no, maybe that's called when the Sefer Torah is being brought from the Aron Kodesh to the bima. So then obviously you have to stand because it's on the move. But on Simchas Torah, maybe it's not called on the move because it's in its place, which is the whole dancing area of the shul. Maybe that's a reason to be makel. He throws in another sniff lahakel. He says maybe if you get lucky, there's like a wall of people around the Sifrei Torah. Right? So you have the Sifrei Torah sometimes in the middle, and then there's a lot of people dancing on the outside. So he says maybe that's another room to makel, that you have a... you have the like a wall of people around Sifrei Torah. All right, Lemaisa, why am I bringing this up? Because you see that there's a concept of when somebody reaches their place, when they're in the right spot, even if it's a temporary spot, Rosh Shlomo Zalman holds, that's good enough. You don't have to stand after that. So it's considered if this great Talmud Chacham would come in and they would stand next to their seat. Now let's say you have a person and he's learning. You have a Rosh Yeshiva or whatever in his own yeshiva, and he's sitting and learning. And every once in a while, he wants to stand up and look inside a different sefer. He wants to stand up and look at a sefer while it's on a shtender. Every time the whole base medrash has to stand up, or everybody within the Dalet Amos has to stand up. He says, "Nah, he's been komo. He's in the right spot. That's not a chiyuv to stand up." So therefore, it's not. He doesn't think that that's such a raya. He says anytime a person walks in, so as long as they get to their temporary spot, they don't have to have a permanent spot. As long as they, right? So he says that the whole reason they had to stand for Devisu Deravuna was totally different. What was the reason?
Standing for him.
Because why do we stand? We spent a lot of time on this last week. Why do you stand during the Shas Gemar Din as a covet for the Dayanim or a covet for the Gemar Din? So why is the Visa Rav Huna standing? Because she's standing because the Dayan is giving the Gemar Din. It's like he said to her, right? And similar to what Shimon Shetach said to Yana HaMelech, Amor al Raglecha, stand up, right? You get up and you're going to hear my Gemar Din. So then Rav Nachman wasn't so happy about that. Rav Nachman said, I shouldn't be the reason. Mela, I don't have to stand up for her if she decides to stand up. But I'm not going to stand up. How could I be the reason she's going to stand up and then I'm not going to stand up for her? That's already a bit of a disgrace. Right? He's disgracing her a little bit. And I thought when I saw this years ago, I saw this piece in Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and I thought that was an excellent, excellent companion to the other piece in the Mincha Shlomo that we read, meaning Rosh Shlomo Zalman was so opposed to the Minchas Chinuch's middle ground. Remember, Minchas Chinuch had a middle ground where he said, you can be Mekayim the mitzvah, or you can violate the mitzvah, or you can be in the middle. So Rosh Shlomo Zalman is saying here also, there's no middle. He said to the Minchas Chinuch, when it comes to Yeshiva Sukkah, there's no middle. And he's saying here also, there's no middle. If the wife of Rav Huna is standing up because of you, that's a zilzul to her kavod. And therefore, you can't say, well, I'm not being mezalzel to her because it's not, she's standing up because of the Gemara Din. So it's like a middle ground. No middle ground. There is, if she's going to stand up because of you, then that's a zilzul to her kavod. And therefore, you should also stand up in order to demonstrate that you're only asking her to stand because that's the halacha, not because you want her to give you more kavod and be disgracing her kavod. All right. Ezra Hashem, tomorrow we'll start the sugya of kavod abrios. I'm just telling you in advance, there is a huge piece in the, both in size and in stature, huge piece in the Noda Bihuda, that after you get through the initial gemaras, it's very worthwhile. I know you're going to see it. I'll print up a few copies. I know you're going to see it and you're going to want to not read it. It's very long. It has two parts. So the first part is the Kavod Abrius part. That's what we actually need to know. So that I would strongly recommend reading. And then the second part is just stam, incredibly interesting. The Shaila that he got was ridiculous, like ridiculous, stranger, real life stranger than fiction. And the second part relates to the particulars of this person doing tshuva, etc. It's very worthwhile read. It's, if you can stand reading the long tshuva, it's worth doing it. Okay.